And then, he thinks, from that universal premise and from that particular premise, we proceed to a conclusion. But instead of being a speculative conclusion, such as he had discussed in the logical works, the conclusion will be of the practical order. And it might be something like, well, then, I guess I ought to go and give service to the person I promised. Or, I guess even though it was a clever idea and it would get me off the hook, I shouldn't say it because it's a lie. In those particular cases, the affirmative one or the negative one that I've just described, we have the case of a practical syllogism where the person puts the particular action that he is considering doing under the universal premise, which allows and directs him to do that action, or puts it under the universal premise which forbids him to carry out that action and leads to a decision not to do it. In the case of the moral weakness, the weakness of will that Aristotle is trying to describe here in Book 7, he thinks that the problem is that the person of unsettled habits will have not just one universal premise, but several universal premises, and that the particular line of action that the person is considering doing, while he knows in one part of his being that one should say this particular clever saying probably should go under the premise that lies should not be told, yielding the conclusion, therefore I shouldn't say this particular clever stratagem that will get me off the hook, but that the person will shift under the pressure of his passions, will shift that particular premise to another universal premise, namely, clever things ought to be said that will get me off the hook. This is a clever thing, therefore I should say it and get off the hook. Or, I should avoid doing difficult things that take me out of my way. Keeping this promise would be a difficult thing that will take me far out of my way and cause me sacrifice. Therefore, I should avoid doing what I had promised. His notion is not that we all think in such rigid logical fashion or that we all make explicit all of these premises. His idea is not that we all of us keep a little notebook and manage such carefully stated, precisely articulated syllogisms. His notion is rather that this kind of thinking occurs within us and will occur within us quickly, sometimes in which we will formally advert to it, sometimes in which we may not quite so formally advert to it, but that it nonetheless occurs, and that one can show how it occurs and how reasonable this is when one stops someone who has acted in a way that was morally weak, in a way that was deficient, or perhaps even took some steps that later one regrets. And one can ask that person, what were you thinking about? We can ask one another, and in examination of conscience, we can ask ourselves that question. What were you thinking about? And what we find is that we're able, generally, to justify the position we took. We're able, often, to rationalize our actions, saying, yes, admittedly, I know that eggs and bacon aren't good for me, but things that smell as wonderful as that are good for me, and I was so inclined on a given morning, really, indeed, truly, to go for the things that smelled so good and looked so tasty. That is, I can rationalize, and that frequently I do, and that when I rationalize, it's not just that I rationalize after the fact, although I'm able to articulate the rationalization after the fact, but that even at the time when I'm trying to make my decision, I do something like this. Hence, Aristotle's attempt to answer the problem of moral weakness is to say that moral weakness isn't just an intellectual mistake. This is the thing for which he criticizes Socrates. It's not just a matter of I didn't know the universal premise at all. It's that I was pushed by my passions. I was inclined by my stirrings. I was made fearful by some particular danger. And the emotional quality that I was experiencing pushed my mind over against what I did know to something else that I also knew. That in both cases it was knowing, but in neither case was it pure knowing. Now, in this respect, some people in the history of philosophy have found Aristotle's position objectionable. They claim that this still doesn't solve the problem and that one has to find some other solution. One of the more popular approaches that differs from Aristotle's solution is to say, no, there are some people who are really just inclined to evil. And this position when taken in the history of philosophy leads to a notion that there are evil sources or bad sources or perverted sources within us, and that sometimes what we have to do is acknowledge the fact that there are these sources that are so badly disordered in us. And so these particular philosophers will see our soul as in a kind of tug of war,